శ్రీయుద్ధోవాచ క్రియాయోగం సమాచక్ష్వ భవదారాధనం ప్రభో శ్రీ ఉద్ధవ వాచ. శ్రీ ఉద్ధవ సెడ్ క్రియాయోగం ద ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్ మెథడ్ ఆఫ్ యాక్టివిటీ సమాచక్ష్వ ప్లీజ్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ భవత్ ఆఫ్ యూ ఆరాధనం ద డీటీ వర్షిప్ ప్రభో ఓ లార్డ్ యస్మాత్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ వాట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఫామ్ Tvam, you, ye, who, yatha, in what manner, archanti, they worship, satvata, the devotees, satvata rishabha, O master of the devotees. Translation, Sri Uddhava said, my dear Lord, O Master of the Devotees, please explain to me the prescribed method of worshipping you in your deity form. What are the qualifications of those devotees who worship the deity? On what basis is such worship established? And what is the specific method of worship? Purport. In addition to performing their prescribed duties, devotees of the Lord engage in regulated worship of the Lord in His deity form in the temple. Such worship acts powerfully to cleanse the heart of both the lust to enjoy one's material body and the material family attachment that results directly from this lust. I repeat, there are two benefits given here of deity worship. Such worship acts powerfully to cleanse the heart of both the lust to enjoy one's material body and the material family attachment that results directly from that lust. To be effective, however, the process of deity worship must be performed in the authorized way. Therefore, Uddhava now inquires from the Lord about this subject.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya చక్షూరున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీ గురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావదూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదా సహగణ లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితంశ్చ ఏ కృష్ణా కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధూభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So I thought we were on the earlier chapter, so was preparing to close a bit of the earlier chapter and then begin this new chapter. Nevertheless, now that we are on the new chapter, let's come to straight to the point of the new chapter before we talk about Gopashtami. So in a sense, Uddhava has been taking instructions throughout this canto from Lord Krishna, and in this specific chapter, which is chapter 27 of the 11th canto, Uddhava is asking questions to the Lord solely on the aspect of deity worship. Now, from my memory, I'll try to remember, the Lord has got manifest in five forms. One out of that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Bhagavan Himself, in His original form, in His all spiritual form in Goloka. The other is the Vyuha forms, which He manifests in this material world for creation purposes. The third one is the Paramatma form, which is within all our hearts. I can't remember the fourth form right now.
Vibhava.
Pardon? Vibhava. Vibhava incarnations, what is Vibhava? Oh, the various incarnations which He manifests in this material world. Okay. And the fifth one is the Archa, or the deity worship, the deity form of the Lord, okay, which is easily accessible for fallen souls in this material world. I also do remember from an earlier lecture which I heard that one of the main reasons why deity worship has been given so much of importance in our sampradaya, and Srila Prabhupada laid so much emphasis, is for the gradual upliftment of the devotee from the neophyte stage to the advanced stage. Because in neophyte stage, the very beginning, the very meaning of neophyte, as is mentioned, is neophyte means always fight. So in the neophyte stage, typically a devotee struggles with relationships with other devotees. Because the devotee struggles with relationships with other devotees, a devotee comes in into the movement in Krishna consciousness but stays aloof from the devotees. So he thinks that by directly connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I will go back to Godhead and I have nothing to do with all these people who are around me. Now, obviously, shastrically this is incorrect, because the Shastras say that without the mercy of Vaishnavas, the doors of liberation or the doors of Vaikuntha will not open for us. So if we continuously struggle for, or as long as we struggle with relationships with devotees, then we have no hopes of going back to the spiritual world. So deity worship is very powerful in this context, because when the devotee comes in, though he doesn't initially have relationships with other devotees, certainly when he sees the lordships being worshipped with so much of opulence, then he comes to reason that yes, this is not an ordinary personality, he must be something, somebody who is very special. So he starts developing the reverence for the Lord. And when he starts developing such reverence for the Lord, then the Lord, as the deity form, and as the Lord within the heart, as Paramatma within the neophyte's heart, guides him to other devotees. And that assures him advancement of the devotee from the neophyte stage to the advanced stage. So that is one of the main reasons why deity worship is given so much of importance. At a different level, deity worship is also required for established worship, established devotees, because though we may have spent a few years in Krishna consciousness, it is very difficult as a human being to get rid of sex desire completely from our heart. So it is mentioned that deity worship As much as deity worship is done, to that extent, the lust within our heart for the opposite sex and to enjoy that maithuni bhav goes down gradually. So these are the two large benefits that I could remember from whatever I heard in the previous classes on deity worship. Of course, we are going to have an entire chapter on the other benefits of deity worship. There are so many aspects which we will come to know as we keep on discussing this section more and more over the next few weeks. So today is the auspicious day of Gopashtami. So we'll spend the next few minutes talking about Gopashtami, and also today is the disappearance day of three eminent acharyas in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. It is the disappearance day of Srila Gadadhar Das, not Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit is different and Gadadhar Das is different. Today is the disappearance day of Gadadhar Das. Today is also the disappearance day of Srinivas Acharya and also Dhananjay Pandit. All three of them were very eminent acharyas in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. Now before we go and start discussing something about them, we will speak a few words on Gopashtami and try to understand the various learnings and lessons from Gopashtami. It is mentioned in the scriptures that Gopashtami comes on the 8th day of the bright fortnight of Kartik month. Gopashtami implies, or the significance of Gopashtami is that it is on this day that Lord Krishna started manifesting his Pauganda pastimes. Now, Pauganda, there are three stages which Lord Krishna demonstrated. The earliest stage is called as the Kaumara Leela. Kaumara Leela is anything which happens between the first year to the fifth year. Pauganda Leela is from fifth to the tenth, and then after that is Kaishora Leela. Kaishora implies adolescence. Adolescence starts from the age 11 onwards, and that is called as Kaishora Leela. So there is Kaumara Leela, there is Pauganda Leela, there is Kaishora Leela. So, on the 8th day of the bright fortnight of Kartik, which is today, Lord Krishna entered the Pauganda Leela and he was initiated as a cowherder. It is mentioned in the scriptures that Lord Krishna was an extraordinary child. So, whatever I mentioned, 0 to 1 to 5 as Kaumara, 5 to 10 as Pauganda and 11 to 15 as Kaishora, this was not applicable to the Lord. The Lord was on an accelerated program. So the Lord was very extraordinary right from his childhood, and he passed through these ages quicker than what time can manifest itself. So by the 7th year itself, it is mentioned that the Lord entered adolescence. Though ordinarily adolescence only comes at the age of 11. Now even in ordinary society, we see some children are ahead of some other children in terms of their maturity. Coming to the Lord, it is mentioned, is that he was always 1.5 times ahead or more mature than what his actual age was. So at the age of 4, he demonstrated the maturity of a 6-year-old. This speedy maturity of the Lord has been mentioned in several sections in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the first hint of Krishna's accelerated maturity program is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10, Chapter 8, Verse 21, where Sukadeva Goswami is mentioning to Maharaj Parikshit that Lord Krishna had barely been given his name by Garga Muni. The naming ceremony had barely concluded, and when the naming ceremony is concluded, what's the state of a child usually? The child is just out of hospital, come home, and then the naming ceremony is done, right? And the child doesn't even recognize the father and mother properly. But it is mentioned here that few months into the naming ceremony, Lord Krishna was already crawling at that time. The verse says, Kalena Vrajat Alpena. Alpakal means in very short time. Kalena Vrajat Alpena Gokule Rama Keshavo.
So this is not only applicable to Lord Krishna, but the Ram mentioned here is none other than
Shri Balram. Kalena Vrajat Palena Gokule Rama Keshavo Janubhyam Sahapanibhyam Ringamano Vijaratu. Soon thereafter, Lord Krishna started, after the naming ceremony, he started crawling, and soon thereafter he also started walking. That is also mentioned. Sukadeva Goswami says, Kala Alpena Rajarishe Ramakrishnascha Gokule Agrastha Janubhi Padbhir Vichakramatur Agnyasa.
Within a very short time, Kala Alpena, both Balram and Krishna, while still in Gokula, very easily began walking on their feet without having to crawl. So that was Lord Krishna's accelerated program. Now, not only in terms of physical ability was Lord ahead of his time, but also in terms of his desires, he was ahead of time. Soon after walking, the elders in the community, the Mathura Vasis at that time, they decided that now that the Lord has started walking, let us all move to Vrindavan. So it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 11th chapter, text 28, Vanam Vrindavanam Nama Pashavyam Nama Kananam Gopa Gopi Gavam Sevyam Punyadi Trina Virudham. Between Nandeshwar and Mahavan is a place named Vrindavan, and this is one of the occasions when Vrindavan is getting introduced now in the first occasion when it is getting introduced in the 10th canto. Between Nandeshwar and Mahavan is a place named Vrindavan, very suitable, lush with grass, plants and creepers for the cows and other animals, with nice gardens, tall mountains, full of facilities for the happiness of all gopas, gopis and the animals. Tatra adya eva yashyamaha. So, as soon as the Mathuravasis came to know that such a place exists, immediately,
tatra adya eva yashamshaya.
Just today, immediately they decided that today itself let us shift our base from Mathura to Vrindavan. So the lesson that we get here is that the devotees of the Lord are not very attached to any one single place on this earth. Like many times we are very well settled in one particular place and always have this worry at the back of the mind that, Lord, please do not dislodge me from this place, because then I have to start life all over again. I have to make my relationships in the new place all over again, and I have to get a new job somewhere. I have to adjust to the local culture and so on and so forth. But from this lesson, we understand that the devotees of the Lord never even hesitated for a moment in shifting their base. The whole idea was that Krishna has now started walking. Therefore, now it is better that he walks on the fields of Vrindavan. So immediately they took that decision for the pleasure of Krishna, without thinking about themselves. Once in Vrindavan, the Lord soon started developing his next desire. That is the desire to herd cows. Gopashtami is all about herding cows, but this is cows. So when he entered Vrindavan, the Lord developed a desire to herd cows. So therefore, before he was initiated into the process of cow herding, which happened today, he was initiated into the process of calf herding. That is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, in the 10th canto, 38th verse. Kala vakhyay
svakalena vatsapalo,
which means kala vakhyana. The Lord had hardly migrated or matured from speaking broken words, and in a very short time, right from the time that he was speaking broken words, he was already having the desire to herd cows. And this is mentioned in the connection with the Vatsasura pastime. Now, while for us it may sound, we may feel very happy hearing about this speedy progress of Lord Krishna, there was one person who was very concerned with this progress. Who was that person? Yeah, I also thought when I heard this, Kamsa. Immediately Kamsa came to me. No, it was not Kamsa, it was Mother Yashoda who had that concern. Okay, now what is Mother Yashoda's concern? Why is she so disappointed, or why is she so aggrieved with Lord Krishna's speedy maturity? That is mentioned here. It is mentioned that at this time, Lord Krishna had already left his mother's breast, and his curiosity about life kept on increasing. In the final portion of his infancy, which is called as Sesha Kaumara, the Lord started accompanying Nanda Maharaj to the forest for cow herding. Forget about cow herding. He had hardly come out and he wanted to go for cow herding. And the Lord started accompanying Nanda Maharaj. And he used to play along with the gopis and enact the pastime of cow herding. He was not cow herding, but he used to think that he was cow herding, and he used to, along with the gopas, he used to, you know, look at his father and try to imitate this pastime of cow herding. So when the news reached Yashoda Mata that Lord Krishna is now looking at cow herding, so Yashoda Mata was very upset. She chastised Nanda Baba. She told him, "My son is too young to be grabbing the horns of bulls and cows." And because of her motherly affection, it did not allow her to see that Lord Krishna was literally growing and growing in terms of his true dharma or nature. So therein lies, and what is Lord Krishna's nature? It is herding cows. It is said that Lord Krishna's nature, Govinda, is a lover of the cows, and his nature is cow herding. So that's why we say Laksha Vriteshu Surabhir Abhipalayantam. One of my godbrothers was saying in a class that nowadays Surabhir Abhipalayantam has been replaced with Dogabhir Abhipalayantam. You know, we take pride in herding dogs on the road in the morning walk rather than herding cows. So the world has matured from there. So the Lord's eternal dharma is Surabhir Abhipalayantam. So by this pastime, the Lord is also trying to tell us that we have to try and attain to our own Swadharma very soon. So and the Lord says, do it without haste. That's why he is himself trying to get to his Swadharma very quickly. So that is one learning which is coming from Gopashtami. So Mother Yashoda tried to restrain him. He stole away and started mixing with the older boys in the community now, who were already in charge of the cows by this time. And it is mentioned by the Acharyas, after all, it is difficult to change one's nature. So our task as sadhakas is to retire from our nature, which is born of material identification, and awaken our swadharma. Also, from Mother Yashoda's point of view, it is mentioned that Mother Yashoda was completely in Vatsalya Ras. But when she saw that Lord Krishna had this desire and her Vatsalya Ras was coming in the way of the pleasure of the Lord, because he had this desire to go out and herd cows, Mother Yashoda subordinated her desire, her rasa, to facilitate what Lord Krishna wanted. So that is another learning from Mother Yashoda's side that we get on Gopashtami. The third lesson which we get from Gopashtami is, obviously, a child will not be as adept as herding cows or calves as a seasoned adult is, or as a seasoned calf herder or a cow herder is. But there was a very interesting statement that I heard from Tripurari Swami, where he mentions that herding cows represents the protection of innocence. And he says that he defines innocence. He says innocence is faultless even when faults appear in them. That is the definition of innocence, he says. So even when we see that Lord Krishna may have had some faults in his herding cows because he was not so experienced in herding cows, but the very innocence of Lord Krishna is the innocence that we have to imbibe in whatever activities that we do. So that is the third lesson which the Acharyas give us from the Gopashtami. So he mentions, gather your innocence, your purity of purpose for the cause of the truth. Oh, what a web we weave when at first we choose to deceive. So these are some of the key learnings that are coming across very early in this pastime. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Mother Yashoda very soon realized that she cannot restrain her baby Krishna.
So she consulted with Nanda Maharaj, and together they reasoned that it is best to allow Krishna to take care of the young cows, however, in the near immediate vicinity of Vrindavan. So he doesn't go far away, near immediate vicinity of the village. So consulting with the other elders, Nanda Baba and Yashoda mother arranged for their initiation ceremony into calf herding. It is mentioned that tantrics were called to decide the proper time and the appropriate mantras for initiating the Lord into this pastime. And Krishna along with Balram and the Gopas were then given ropes, sticks, flutes and horns to carry. Now as soon as Lord Krishna was given shoes to wear immediately, or sandals to wear, the sandals were personally prepared by Mother Yashoda. So she gave sandals, okay, now you are going to the forest, now you take these sandals. Lord immediately rejected these sandals. It is mentioned that the Lord reasoned with Mother Yashoda that the cows do not have any sandals. They are also walking there. So why, how can I wear something which my near and dear ones do not wear? So I will not wear these sandals. And he mentioned to Mother Yashoda that I will wear these sandals only on one condition, that you have to prepare sandals, the same quality of sandals for all the cows. Now we are not talking about one or two cows, we are talking about 9 million cows. And 9 million multiplied by how many feet a cow has, not 2, 4. So 36 million shoes she has to prepare. If she prepares that, then I am willing to wear these sandals and go. So the Lord is giving that one lesson to us. But inside his heart, the Lord wanted to give us a lesson that we should not go to the holy dham with our shoes on. Now, the shoes is also given a metaphorical reasoning here. The shoes represent the dust which we carry in our heart. Pride, envy, lust, illusion. All these qualities and anger. We cannot take all these qualities, which is the dust of the shoes of a conditioned soul, and then go take them to Vrindavan, the holy dham. So the Lord is giving this example here through this pastime, that I will not wear these shoes and enter the land of Vrindavan to pasture. So if we are to enter there, we have to enter in the mood of innocence and spiritual purity of the heart. Fearless, barefoot and carefree, having ceased from caring for our selfish interest in approaching Vrindavan. And it is mentioned that when our approach is proper, our mind itself will become Vrindavan. And therefore Mahaprabhu said, Mora Mana Vrindavan. So we have to clear this dust and our mind itself will become Vrindavan, and then with that mind then we can enter the actual Bhumi Vrindavan. Now when Lord Krishna refused to wear these shoes, all the cows, what they started doing? They started stomping their feet. All the cows, 90 lakh cows, they started stomping their feet. Why were they stomping their feet? So that they now realize that Lord Krishna is not going to wear these shoes. So when he goes to the forests of Vrindavan to pasture, his tender feet will get hurt. So therefore, we will go and stomp so that we level the whole ground. So that when Lord comes along with us to pasture, then his feet will not be troubled with the thorns and pebbles there. It is mentioned that the pebbles also, in anticipation of Lord Krishna coming, melted so that they became very soft for the Lord to walk on. So this was about the cow herding pastime. Now, sorry, the calf herding pastime. Now coming to the cow herding pastimes, there are a lot of interesting events that led to his graduation from calf herding to cow herding. So we'll see the events that were leading up to the Oganda Leela. So it is mentioned that all these events, whatever we discussed so far, they all preceded Gopashtami. They were before Gopashtami, which took place during Krishna's Oganda Leela and commenced at the beginning of his fifth year. It is mentioned that although Kaumara Leela lasts only 3 years, as against 5, because of the accelerated program that Lord Krishna was manifesting, it lasted for one extra full year, for 4 years. Why? Because of the Brahma Vimoga Leela. As Lord Brahma stole all the gopis away, so the Lord extended his pastime for one more year in his Koganda Leela. So it continued for a fourth year. Now, the Pogandilila also passed very speedily owing to the enthusiasm of Lord Krishna and his friends resulting from their reunion after 1 year of separation. So, it passed very speedily. So, the Pogandilila's beginning and end are described in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, in the 15th chapter, where the Krishna killing Dhenukasura is also mentioned. And the first exchange the Lord had with the gopis is also during this time. Now, in this chapter it is mentioned that Lord Krishna became a full cowherder on Gopashtami. Babuvatustav Pashupala Sammatav. Babuvatustav means both of them, Lord Krishna as well as Balram, Pashupala became cowherds by appointment. Sammatav, by appointment and with the consent of all the Vrajavasis. Now, as the Lord entered Pogandilila from his Kaishora Lila, one of the pastimes which the Lord manifested is, he started refusing to take bath with mother. He started disallowing mother Yashoda to give him bath. It is mentioned that the onset of bashfulness had already started manifesting in the Lord. He was feeling little bit shy that his mother was giving him bath. Now, Yashoda mother obviously was very concerned with this. She wasn't, you know, too happy. But nevertheless, it is mentioned that she consoled herself by rationalizing that this is just childishness on the part of my small Krishna. But she knew within her heart that he was maturing faster than she could imagine. And that thought caused her immense grief within her heart. For she could understand that soon now he is going to insist on herding cows, from cows. And she also knew that the day he starts putting this request, it has grave consequences for her, because this means now the Lord has become a cowherder and he is going to be away from her throughout the day and not in the near immediate vicinity of Vrindavan. However, she avoided thinking about it for a long, long time. Now what happened? Something interesting happened here. Nanda Maharaj, on the other hand, as the father, he also noticed something peculiar in the behavior of Krishna. He noticed that Krishna was now spending more and more time with his uncles than with his parents. Right? And it is also mentioned that Lord was avoiding his father and only exchanging occasional inhibited glances towards his father, just checking himself. So, Nanda Maharaj observed this in Krishna and saw that Krishna was repeatedly going to his uncle and asking for something with a delightful anxiety in his face. So, Nanda Maharaj also decided not to ask Krishna about it. He said, okay, let me go and ask my brothers about it. As to what is my son asking them, asking his uncles. So, he questioned all his brothers on Krishna's behavior. So, his youngest brother mentioned that, Nanda Maharaj, we have just come to know that your small Krishna, now he wants to take care of the cows. No longer the calves. He wants to take care of the cows as well, along with the calves, in that sense. So, Nanda Maharaj was obviously not very pleased with this answer. And he went to his another brother called as Sannanada. Now his other brother gave this blow in a much softer way to Nanda Maharaj. And the words are very carefully chosen. He said, he and Balram have said that since their infancy has passed, it is now improper for their respected father to have to take care of the cows all by himself. So that is the way the uncles put this proposition to Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda mother met on the same day, and again they realized that they cannot control the Lord's desires anymore. So he is going to do whatever he wants at the end of the day. So they decided, okay, let us give in to that desire also of his, and therefore they chose an auspicious day and time to hold the initiation ceremony of the Lord as a full-fledged cowherder, and that is Gopashtami. In the meanwhile, all of Nanda Maharaj's cows, what did they start doing? Now Nanda Maharaj's cows, they now realized that now the Lord is going to come and herd us. Thus far he was herding only the calves. So when they got the news, they started refusing to take even one step towards Vrindavan. So they started refusing to go to grace after that. Why? Because they wanted to put that additional pressure on Nanda Maharaj to immediately initiate Lord Krishna. So that then Lord Krishna will come and herd them. So the cows also started not cooperating. So Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai were forced to act very hastily in this matter. So that is about the events that led up to the Paugandaleela. Now the actual preparation for Gopashtami. What all happened during that function? So it is said that Nanda Maharaj decided to do 3 full days of announcements throughout the Rajabhumi. Kettle drums were playing and all arrangements that were made for the Gopashtami or the cow herding pastimes, it is mentioned that they belittled all those arrangements which were made for the calf herding pastimes. So these were much, much more elaborate level of arrangements. Musical instruments and singing was going on throughout Vraja. So on the day of Gopashtami, Lord Krishna approached the cows very humbly. He approached the cows and the priests and bowed down before them. He greeted them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself greeted the cows as well as the priest and started washing their feet. Having washed their feet, he started offering the cows and the priests elaborate praises and fed the cows with sweet fodder from his own hand. The Lord is serving the devotee personally here. After the cows were quite satisfied, the Lord bowed before the cows in respect and he went and satisfied the priests by giving them lot of gifts. And after he had satisfied the cows and the priests, then he came before his father with folded hands along with his brother Balram. And as he came, Nanda Maharaj then placed a jeweled cowherd's staff in his son's hand. And Yashoda Mai, who is the queen of Vraja, anointed Krishna's forehead with tilak, saying, Balram, now my young Krishna is going to herd the cows. But because he is very small, I want you, Balram, to stay in front of Krishna always. Having said that, she said, but I have only taken care of the front side. What about the sides? So she said, she called on Subala and she said, Subala, you stay behind him. She called Sridhama and she called Sudama and said that both of you be by his side. So he is protected from all 4 sides. And he said, all the rest of you, which is another millions of gopas, all of you gather around him, for he is your dear friend. And as she said this, she was still very concerned about the Lord's protection, and because of the tears were coming from her eyes, and with that tears she drenched her son as well as all the son's friends and all the gopas. So much tears of love were coming out from her eyes. With the completion of this ceremony, now the actual cow herding, Rama and Krishna, Balram and Krishna called to the cows, Hya Hya Jihi. This is the words by which they used to call the cows. Hya Hya Jihi. Expecting the cows to move. So they ordered all the cows. Now come on, all of you. Now usually a cow herder is behind or in front? Usually is behind. Cow herding means what? From behind you are herding the cows. Cows are walking in front. But not one cow moved despite Lord Krishna telling them to move. They all stood as they were in that place. They said not one was prepared to move in fear of losing sight of Lord Krishna. So they can see him only if he is in front. So they did not move and remained motionless until Lord came, Krishna and Balram came to the front of the herd. And there is one photo, right, somewhere in the temple of Lord Krishna in front, Balram in front of the cows. Which one is that? This is one, but Balram is also there. Or is it? Huh? It's at the farm. Yeah. Lord Krishna and Balram in front and all the cows coming behind them. So all the cows started moving only when Lord Krishna and Balram came in front of them. And the acharyas say that we can only imagine this scene. with our conditioning, we cannot actually realize the scene, we can only imagine the scene. Yet doing so with a pure mind, we can enter that pastime as well. Those interested in Krishna's eternal friendship will hanker to herd cows with him through the initiation ceremony of Gopashtami. So, by hearing this pastime, one gets the blessing, then one will get the mood of a Gopa and get the desire to herd cows along with Lord Krishna and Balaram. Now, there are two interesting verses which I would like to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam on this pastime. Verse, this is both from Canto 10, Chapter 21, Text 1. Sukadeva Goswami describes this very beautifully. He says, please hear carefully, thus the Vrindavan forest was filled with transparent autumnal waters and cooled by breezes perfumed with the fragrance of lotus flowers growing in the clear lakes. The infallible Lord, accompanied by his cows and cowherd boyfriends, entered that Vrindavan forest. Even the gopis admit that to see this is the perfection of their eyes. It's mentioned in verse 7. The cowherd girls, the gopis, said, O friends, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda are clearly very fortunate eyes. As these two sons enter the forest, surrounded by their friends, driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision than this cowherding pastime. About Krishna's love for the cows and theirs for him, the gods have said the following through Jiva Goswami's pen in Gopal Champu. Gopal Champu mentions, whenever they are satisfied, so too is he. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the cows. Whenever they are satisfied, so too is the Lord. Whenever they are hungry, he is as well. He calls them near again and again, and pressing against them, he relishes their scent and further embraces them, examining them closely and feeding them. Without him, their hearts are empty and they stand motionless as if they were painted. Only when they are reunited with him do they recover, smelling, seeing, hearing, tasting and touching him. Now that is the actual cowherding pastime, the mood of the cows and the gopis on the cowherding pastime. Finally, what is the goal of the cowherding pastime? So a question is asked by the acharyas, why does Lord Krishna graze this cows and calves? Lord Krishna is the son of a king and he is a supreme personality of Godhead as well. So he has no duties to perform. He has no occupational duties to perform like the conditioned souls. So then why does he graze the calves and the cows? So it is mentioned that on the pretext of herding the calves and cows, the Lord escapes the confines of his home and the vigilance of the seniors and elders in order to meet his beloved Srimati Radharani and the gopis. So ultimately that is the whole purpose of this cowherding pastime. And Gopashtami therefore marks the day of the fulfillment of Lord Krishna's desires to directly have his first intimate meeting with Radharani and the gopis. And this pastime also took place in the month of Kartik. It is very nicely described by the acharyas. Krishna is going slowly. Krishna is going slowly, remaining somewhat behind the other cowherd boys. Remaining somewhat behind the other cowherd boys, so that Balaram will also go ahead of him. Meanwhile, he is looking here and there hoping to have a glimpse of Srimati Radharani. Simply the vision of this scene is the fruit of having eyes. So the perfection of our eyes to see the cowherding pastime, Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram herding the cows, to see the mood of the cows towards Krishna, to see the mood of gopis towards Krishna and Balaram, and to see the mood or the anxiety of Lord Krishna where he is going walking slightly behind Balaram to have one glance of his beloved Srimati Radharani. So that is the mood of Gopashtami. And today, because it's Gopashtami, we discuss this pastime. As I mentioned earlier, it's not only Gopashtami today, but it's also the disappearance day of three Acharyas. We don't have enough time to discuss all the details of these three Acharyas, but we will just run you through the very important points. So, we spend some time in Smaranam of these three Acharyas. The first of the Acharyas whose disappearance is today is Gadadhar Das Thakur. Gadadhar Das Thakur is mentioned in Gadadhar Das Thakur, it is mentioned in Gaur Ganodesha Deepika that Gadadhar Das Thakur is none other than the incarnation of the effulgence of Srimati Radharani's body. And he is also been mentioned as an expansion of Purnananda Gopi. Now, if you read Srila Gadadhar Das's pastimes, we will find that most of the time he spent with Lord Nityananda and the Gopas. Lord Nityananda was always invariably surrounded with the Gopas. And most of the time, Gadadhar Das spent with Lord Nityananda. However, what was unique about him, what differentiated him from the other Gopas, was that though he was physically with the Gopas, he was the only Gopa in Gopi Bhav and not Gopa Bhav. So that is how he was unique from all the Gopas. So his mood was of Madhurya Ras, whereas his association was with other devotees who were all having Sakhya Ras with the Lord. So that differentiated Gadadhar Das from the others. So this Madhurya Ras used to manifest suddenly in ecstatic symptoms on many occasions. Once, when he was carrying the water of the Ganges on his head, suddenly Gadadhar Das broke into ecstasy and started talking like a gopi, saying, "Milk, milk, milk, yogurt, yogurt, yogurt. Does anyone in Raja want to buy nice milk and yogurt?" So this is the kind of ecstatic rapture that he used to display from time to time, and by which he revealed his eternal constitution position and his mood in this mellow in Madhurya Ras. Gadadhar Das Thakur, he lived in Navadvip and followed Lord Chaitanya to Puri, however came back to assist Lord Nityananda in preaching in Bengal. Srila Gadadhar Das, it is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, it is mentioned that Lord Nityananda was personally present in the body of Srila Gadadhar Das. Such was his affection for Lord Nityananda. And the most significant pastime in the life of Lord Gadadhar Das was the deliverance of the Qazi. Now, as all of you have heard, the Qazi was very envious of the devotees and he tried to stop the Sankirtan movement from progressing there. So, it was Srila Gadadhar Das who took the initiative to go to the Qazi. So, one evening, when the Qazi was there at his home, Gadadhar Das knocked at his door and started calling him out, "Oh Qazi!" And then the Qazi opened the door, he was fuming with rage as to who is calling me. But when he opened the door and saw the transcendental form of Gadadhar Das, immediately he completely mellowed down. And he asked Srila Gadadhar Das, "What can I do for you?" He said, "Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, has come to inaugurate the Yoga Dharma of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And every day he is leading this Nagar Sankirtan. All hearts are melting on chanting this Mahamantra and on seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu except you. Why is your heart not melting? Why are you still not taking the name of Hari?" So saying this, he kept on urging the Chand Qazi to chant the name of Hari. So after some time, the Chand Qazi said that, "Okay, I will chant the name of Hari tomorrow." As soon as he uttered the name Hari, in saying, "I will chant the name of Hari tomorrow," immediately Gadadhar Das said, "Yes, you have already chanted the name of Hari and you are already liberated from now." And that's how he blessed the Chand Qazi and started again, when he himself started hearing, when he himself heard the word Hari from the mouth of Chand Qazi, he started demonstrating ecstatic symptoms in front of the Qazi. And seeing that, the Qazi immediately surrendered to Gadadhar Das Goswami and became his disciple. So this is the most significant pastime which we know of that is coming from Srila Gadadhar Das's life. So like this, Srila Gadadhar Das delivered countless of sinners, atheists and yavanas. And today is his disappearance day. The other next Acharya whose disappearance day today is none other than Srinivas Acharya. Now Srinivas Acharya is normally regarded as the next generation which happened after Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami. First was the Panchatattva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar, Srivas, right? Srivas Pandit, Srivas Pandit, and the next was the Goswamis which we saw. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and then we also have Swarup Damodar Goswami and all these personalities. The third generation was Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur and Dukhi Krishna Das, who is also called as Shyamanand Pandit. Srinivas Acharya was a devotee since his childhood, and it is mentioned that very soon after his birth, he started demonstrating the symptoms of a very advanced Mahapurusha. And he is none other than the embodiment of the energy of Lord Chaitanya. We say, Sri Chaitanya Gaura Shakti. So he is none other than the Gaura Shakti of Lord Chaitanya. He is the embodiment of that. Since his childhood, because he was born of very advanced parents, his parents were also devotees, he always used to hear the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And there is a pastime before that his father became very intimate with Lord Chaitanya, having seen the mundane pastime of Lord Chaitanya himself. Where was that? Keshi Ghat, is it? Sorry, Katwa. Katwa. Katwa was the place, right, where the Lord had the ceremony here. Hair removing ceremony. So when Srinivas Acharya's father saw that, then he started developing ecstatic symptoms and he became very attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because he was so attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started constantly glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his home, and he made it a point to tell pastimes of Lord Chaitanya every day to his son, Srinivas Acharya. So having grown up, it was very natural for Srinivas Acharya to develop an intense affection for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his only desire in life was to somehow meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as soon as his father departed from this material world, he immediately started for Jagannath Puri, because he heard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing in Jagannath Puri. So he was waiting all these years to go and meet the Lord in Jagannath Puri. But as soon as he started walking towards Jagannath Puri, halfway he saw devotees coming back from Jagannath Puri in great anxiety. When he asked these devotees, why are you all coming back from Jagannath Puri? They mentioned that Lord Chaitanya has wound his pastimes in this material world and gone back to the spiritual world. So you can imagine the beating which Srinivas Acharya got. From his childhood, he was waiting for that one day and he could not get that opportunity. He was so crestfallen, it is mentioned that immediately he went to the forest and prepared logs of wood. And he was about to set fire to the logs of wood and enter the fire and end his life, because he saw no purpose in living, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda advented verily in front of his eyes there and gave him that darshan which he had longed for since his childhood, and said, you are not meant right now to leave this world. We want you to go immediately to Jagannath Puri and take association of Gadadhar Pandit, who was there at that time, and study Srimad Bhagavatam under him. We will always be with you, and our vision will also always be there with you. So having got this instruction, he started walking towards Jagannath Puri, and there he came under the association of Srila Gadadhar Pandit. And as he was advised, he fell at the feet of Gadadhar Pandit and requested him to train him in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now Gadadhar Pandit had this ability that he could recite Srimad Bhagavatam in multifarious ways, in unique ways, in different meters he could recite. So he was the best person under whom one could study Srimad Bhagavatam at that time. So Gadadhar Pandit took mercy on this boy and picked up his own manuscript, which was written personally by the Acharya. And he showed it to Srinivas Acharya. So when he started reading that, he found that most of that Srimad Bhagavatam was washed away. Now it is mentioned that it was washed away because Gadadhar Pandit and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to personally read that Bhagavatam, and when they read that Bhagavatam, they could not control their tears. Just by the tears, the whole manuscript got washed away. So there was not much left in that manuscript. So Srila Gadadhar Pandit told Srinivas Acharya, you now go to Bengal and then you go there and associate with the devotees and study Bhagavatam from them, and then you come and meet me. So as he was instructed, he went back to Jagannath Puri, and he went back to Bengal, and after studying that, as he was coming back to Jagannath Puri to meet Gadadhar Pandit, he heard that Gadadhar Pandit had also left this world. So that was the second blow which he got. First was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then it was Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar Pandit also left this world. However, seeing his anxiety, Gadadhar Pandit himself appeared in a vision in front of Srinivas Acharya and told him, do not lament right now. I want you to go and meet Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan, and then take their shelter, take their association. So, taking that guideline from Gadadhar Pandit, he went to, started proceeding to Vrindavan. But he had a small desire. He said, let me first, before going to Vrindavan, let me quickly go to Bengal and visit some of my friends, and then after that I will go to Vrindavan. So he went to Bengal and then he left for Vrindavan. And that delay costed him the darshan of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami as well. For as soon as he arrived in Mathura and started inquiring about Rupa and Sanatan, now he understood that Rupa and Sanatan Goswami have also left this material world. This was the third blow that he got. However, seeing his anxiety again, because of his sincere desire, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami personally manifested in front of him and told him, do not lament. Go and take shelter of Jiva Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And thus began his journey of association with Srila Jiva Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and under their guidance, he studied all the scriptures, mastered all the scriptures, and took instruction from the Goswamis on his biggest service which he has done. Which means, he had to take all the literature that has been written by the Goswamis, which was thus far only restricted to Vrindavan, and then take these books to Bengal and Navadvip and go and spread this message in both these geographies. So that was the instruction which he got. So along with his contemporaries, who were Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamanand Pandit, all of them left on a cart. And then there is a very interesting pastime, we will not go into the details of the pastime, that when they were taking this cart, there was one king who was actually a plunderer, and this king had an astrologer who could advise the king of who are the rich people who are going through that village. This astrologer used to tell, and then the king used to send dacoits and plunder all the wealth. So the astrologer this time told him that there is a big wealth which is coming, probably the biggest wealth that one can imagine, and that is coming in one cart very soon. Now he didn't know that it was not material wealth, but it was of course spiritual wealth which is bigger than any material wealth. He was not aware of that. So the pastime is how this king Birhambir, he sent his dacoits and stole the scriptures thinking that it was containing something material. And the pastime also goes that how then when Shyamananda Prabhu, Narottam Das and Dukhi Krishna Srinivas Acharya realized that these scriptures are stolen, how crestfallen and dejected they were. But at that time, since Srinivas Acharya was the eldest out of the three, he said, I will take the responsibility and bottom line for this failure, and I will take the responsibility to bring those scriptures back. You, both of you, Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Pandit, you go to Bengal and Orissa and you commence your preaching there. I will bring these scriptures. So he took the onus and he went to the kingdom of King, what's his name? Birhampur. Yeah. So he went there. Now when he went there, King Birhampur had a very had a Bhagavatam reciter
a scholarly person who was reciting Bhagavatam, and the pastime goes how Srinivas Acharya defeated the Srimad Bhagavatam, which that professional Bhagavatam reciter was reciting, and how he won the trust of the king, such that the king not only returned the scriptures to him, but also became his disciple. So that was the glory of Srinivas Acharya. So without that contribution of Srinivas Acharya, today much of the scriptures of the Acharyas would have been extinct in this world. So we owe quite a lot to Srila Srinivas Acharya for that. Srila Srinivas Acharya married and begetted a daughter whose name was Hemlata Thakurani, who became a spiritual master in her own right and had lot of disciples. Unfortunately, not much is known on the disappearance of Srila Srinivas Acharya, except for the fact that his tomb is there in Vrindavan, and in Krishna Leela, Srila Srinivas Acharya serves as Mani Manjari, that is his eternal position. And finally, Dhananjay Pandit, who is the third personality whose disappearance is there today. Again, not much is known on Dhananjay Pandit. There are only three aspects that we know, and I have tried and fished it out. If any one of you know more, please do share with us. The first was that Dhananjay Pandit was Lord Krishna's friend. There is a Gopa by the name Vasudama. So Vasudama Sakha was none other than Dhananjay Pandit in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Gaur Leela. Vasudam Sakha was known to be very adept at singing and dancing, and also being very obedient to the women. So it is mentioned that Dhananjay Pandit was verily the incarnation of Vasudama Sakha in Chaitanya Leela. Srila Dhananjay Pandit married very young, and his father was very, very wealthy. And his father, after his marriage, gave all the wealth to Dhananjay Pandit so that he can live happily with his wife. However, he was so attached to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he immediately took all that wealth and gave it everything to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and lived with a begging bowl. So that was the greatness of Dhananjay Pandit. Also, it is mentioned that he was very dear to Lord Nityananda, and he assisted Lord Nityananda in preaching throughout Gauda Desh and converted many robbers and atheists in a place specifically called as Sheetalagram, where he made his final residence. So unfortunately, that is all that we, that is known, or at least that I could fish about Dhananjay Pandit. But that is about the three Acharyas whose disappearance day is, happens to be today. Thank you for your patience. Sorry about going overboard. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gopashtami Mahotsav ki jai.